Where's our AV guy? Hello, everyone.
Hey there.
First session of day two of TechEd. Welcome to Visual Studio Tips and Tricks. My name is Scott Cate.
I'm Dustin Campbell.
And we are your presenters. Not very many talks at TechEd have two presenters. We've been doing this talk for a number of years together as a team, and it's a great team talk because of the sheer amount of content. Yep. I think we have about 100 tips and tricks to just fire hose through. Some of them are big, some of them are little, but all of them are time savers.
Yep. All right, so I kind of want to give you guys a lay of the land of what we're going to talk about here. Do you mind flipping ahead to the slide? So we're going to go really fast, okay? I know it's early in the morning. It's 10:15. You guys probably didn't get to bed as early as you should have last night, being the location of this convention. So, but we are going to go very fast. However, I want to make it really clear to you that the keyboard shortcuts that we give you, we're going to do a lot of keyboard shortcuts because productivity savings are very often in keyboard shortcuts. As soon as you go to reach for that mouse, that's often where you start losing seconds, right? You start feeling, oh man, this IDE is not as snappy, it's not as fast as I want it to be. And so by learning keyboard shortcuts, you can really improve your efficiency. And so, because the keyboard shortcuts are kind of going to go by at like a rapid pace, they are in the slides, okay? And so you can download the slides, you can email us if you like, or contact us on Twitter, and we'll get you the slides if you can't find them. But they are in the slides, so you'll have that afterwards. The other thing I want to mention is that we're using Visual Studio 2012. This is not a Visual Studio 2013 presentation, as maybe some were hoping, partly because you don't have it yet. And so any tips and tricks that we gave you for 2013 would not actually help you all that much right
now. Was anybody expecting 2013 today? A couple of you?
Okay, just a handful. So good. But just kind of level set and set expectations there. However, most of the tips we're going to show a lot. Before we get going, how many are using Visual Studio 2012? Okay.
Almost everybody.
A big, big portion of the room. So a lot of this will be relevant for you. 2010, a lot of this will be relevant for you. 2008, there's more stuff in here for 2008. And 2005? Okay. So
2005 exclusively or 2000 exclusively? We got to get that guy an MSDN license.
Yeah, we do. Okay, so there will be tips and tricks that go that span the Visual Studio versions, and we'll try and call these out in the slides. You'll see these called out by version. There's the Visual Studio, the second to last part of the legend here. It says 10 PPT. That's 2010, plus the Pro Power Tools pack that Microsoft pushed out, and that's got a bunch of features in it, some of which has been pulled into the product in 2012. But if you install that extension, you can also get some of this functionality.
And then typically the key is from that point forward. So if it was available in 2005, it's still available all the way forward. So there's a ton of tips and tricks. And so with that, we'll kind of jump into this first page. Now, we'll also talk about PowerPoint in that we're not going to use it very much. These slides are there for reference for you to download afterwards. I'll splash them up on the screen as we're transitioning as a review between what Scott and Dustin are going to talk about. But typically, we're just going to be inside studio actually showing you the tips. So the first thing I'm going to do is start with the start page. And there's one other thing I wanted to mention before we actually dive into the talk, and that is the roles that Dustin and I play. So Dustin is a full-time employee for Microsoft on the Visual Studio team working on...
I guess you could say I'm accountable for the C# and Visual Basic editing experiences for Visual Studio 2013 and future stuff.
So. And I'm a coder. I live and breathe software development. If I work 60 hours a week, 40 of them are inside Visual Studio. And so I'm an ISV. I'm a Microsoft vendor. And I live and breathe Visual Studio. So I'm kind of more like you, where I'm living and breathing the product. And if I ever can't figure something out, Dustin has the source code to Visual Studio, so we can really get to the bottom of what's happening, and if something can happen or can't happen.
Right.
And so with that, now you kind of know our roles in that he has an insider's point of view and I have an outsider's point of view. And if we have to fight about something, then now you'll know why. So this first trick is with the start page, and there's a couple of little things that I wanted to point out, but most of this is pretty obvious, particularly for those of you that have been using the product for a while. Down here at the bottom, you have this close after project load, show page on startup. If you turn that on, it's a slight performance degradation when the product starts because it's got to load an RSS feed, it's got to show those videos and paint this screen. The other thing, if you're a consultant and you're constantly going in and out of other people's offices, you can right-click on these guys, and it's very easy now to remove them from a list. And then we also have this concept of pinning projects that you frequently work on. So all that's pretty self-explanatory, probably not much new there. Here are a couple of tips and tricks that I use with Visual Studio that are actually Windows tips and tricks. So if you notice at the bottom of the screen, my start menu has Explorer, and then Visual Studio as my second item. If I hold the Windows key down and then press the number 2, it's going to focus or not focus on that particular product. If you have more than one instance open, then you can toggle between them. So if you want to right-click on an item, but you want to do it from the keyboard, if you do Windows Alt and number 2, you get a context menu there. So without having to grab your mouse, go over, right-click, and go up to click an item, now you can simply use your cursor keys up and down to quickly load a project that you are looking for. Now, if you want to start a new instance of that item, you can combine with the Shift key. So Windows Shift 2 will open a new version of Studio. I have mine to set to load as administrator because we do a lot of stuff back and forth with IIS. So click Yes there. Now I have a second version of Studio running. And now if I do Windows 2, I can toggle back and forth.
And so just to be clear, that 2 is it's because it's the second item on the bottom, right?
That's right.
So if you press 3, you'd get the next one, and 4, you get the next one.
3 would be Link, 4 would be my Outlook, and et cetera. There's also one last thing you can do without the arrow peak by holding the Control key. So Windows Control 2 is kind of like Alt-Tab, but just for that application. So if your desktop ends up like mine, you have 30 or 40 things running across the bottom with XML inspector and different nodes and different projects. This is kind of like Alt-Tab, but specific to that particular application. Now, the last one I really love, and it helps me a lot actually with the command prompt. From the keyboard, you can launch one of these items as an administrator. So instead of having to do right-click, run as administrator for whatever the item is, you can do Windows Shift Control number 2. So I already have that running. If I do, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So if I do Windows Shift Control number 6, then it opens that item, but it asks me for Windows Shift Control, sorry. Windows Shift Control 6.
There you go.
And then it asks me for the prompt. So again, that's a Windows keyboard shortcut. But I use that a lot with Studio, and so I wanted to kind of throw those out to get started.
Yeah, one of the ones I personally find the most useful of these is the Windows key Alt N that brings up the jump list, because I'll pin my projects on there that I'm working on, and I can just Windows Alt N and grab the project, press Enter, and start Visual Studio, load it with that solution.
When you say N, it's not end.
It's the number of the from the one base number of the applications in my taskbar.
One base. That's your VB background talking. It's not zero based. It's one based. So let's jump over to simplification, which I'll just give you a sneak peek of the PowerPoint, and then.
All right. So actually, go ahead. Flip over to my machine. The Visual Studio 2012, for better or for worse, we did a big UX refresh on the product. Right. Really kind of went through and cleaned up a bunch of the lines. Really tried to bring it towards this modern style of UI. A lot of applications towards MicroStar are converging around. And it was a rocky period. There was a lot of feedback through the beta and the RC. And what we wound up with was this kind of light theme that I've gotten much more comfortable with. But I do want to mention that you can get away from that light theme, right? We also introduced in Visual Studio 2012 the dark theme. Are there any dark theme users here? Any Sith Lord coders here? Awesome. So the dark theme is available. You can go into the options dialog and choose right here. You can choose whether you want dark or light. That's not really enough for some people. They start to get, they're like, I really liked the blue from Visual Studio 2010. I'd gotten really attached to that look and feel. And so there's an extension you can grab if you want to retake your theme. That extension is the Visual Studio color theme editor right here. You can find that online in the extension manager. So I just went to Tools, Extension, and Updates. And you can find this and install it. And what that gives you is the ability to change your theme to any number of themes. And so if I really wanted to get back to that, I could very quickly get back to blue.
Back to blue.
Back to blue. Back to blue. And so that's there available for you. But there's still one more niggle here that's some people feel strongly about. Who here is a big, big fan of the all caps menus?
All caps menus.
One guy.
That guy.
So as I was hearing from the audience, there is a registry key you can set to make that title cased, but I actually don't do that. I just get rid of it. There's another extension that I choose to use. I'm going to grab it right now. And it's called Hide Main Menu. It's written by a Microsoft employee named Matt Johnson, who's actually the guy responsible for a lot of the WPF shell for Visual Studio. I'll just install it, restart VS, and when it comes back up, I won't have a title menu at all.
Every pixel counts.
Every pixel counts, right? If I want to get it back, I just press the Alt key, right? And I can bring it back in. So that's a pretty cool extension. I like to use that. I just get a little bit more vertical space back and just kind of get it back. One last thing I want to mention that we did as part of this big UX refresh, and it's not to be kind of, missed, is that notice how wide the toolbar is. Right, it's just a handful of icons up there of commands to execute. So we spent a bunch of time really trying to simplify the toolbar, taking the things that are most important, most relevant, and making those key. We also introduced this, didn't introduce it, but raised the prominence of kind of the navigation, navigate forward and backwards. Right, so as I navigate, you see these come up here, and they're kind of up to the left, sort of like a browser. So they're easy to find. They used to be kind of buried way off to the right in some other toolbar in previous versions of the product. So just kind of really trying to simplify the IDE a bit. But if you want to retake it, you can. Okay, there are extensions that will help you to get back to the way it was. So
nice.
All right, moving on.
So let's switch to window and document management. As you're working throughout your project, there are lots of code files that you're working with. And typically, you just open a whole bunch of stuff, and it scrolls across the top of your screen. We're going to talk about some of the ways that you can split, move, and then just generally navigate around the IDE, mostly from your keyboard. So I've loaded a project here. It's an open source project called Notatime. I was recently on an internationalization project. And I've now come to realize that the hardest thing of everything in all of programming is understanding time zones.
And that's why you use John Skeet's library.
That's right.
Yeah.
So who better than John Skeet to have an awesome open source library called Notatime? And I figure I can get a lot of code up on the screen and we can jump around. So the first thing is pin documents. If you're doing something with a config file, you may want to pin that document. I say config file because those are the things that I find myself commonly pinning and unpinning. So if you see where this little dealio here, the pin is, you can simply say stay there, and then as you open more and more files, that will get will stay in position. I just opened this actually, but if you look at this Paris test, there is a note in here that says until 1981. Paris was 9 minutes and 21 seconds off of UTC. So if you thought you knew time zones, I was looking at that, I'm like, I'm happy to be using this library. So moving and docking windows. So another Windows feature is dock left and dock right. So if you hold the Windows key down and then shift your arrow keys left and right, you'll go between all the monitors, and then Windows up, of course, is maximize. Now, you've probably already known that, but one thing that I use it for a lot is when I tear off a file. So this Paris test, for example, if I tear that off into its own window, now I can actually dock it left or maybe full screen on a second or third monitor. And so I'll very often take two or three of these files and dock them side by side, and then I have the ability to very easily see what's happening on that whole screen. So we also have these things called tool windows. And a tool window is something like what you've seen in your call hierarchy or your tools dialog or the output window. And a lot of times you want to gain focus to a particular window, and you can do that with either a keyboard shortcut to that window, like Control-Shift-O will bring up the output window if you're bound to the C-sharp profile, or you can actually cycle through all of them. So if you hold down the Alt key and press F6, that will toggle. So I just went from a Solution Explorer to pending changes, back to data sources, and I'm just kind of jumping around all of the tool windows. And if you hold the Shift key, which will almost always mean do the same thing but backwards, so Alt-Shift-F6 will navigate backwards in that stack. In Visual Studio 2012, we also introduced a new thing called a Preview tab, which means as you set focus on a file, it automatically opens in the IDE. This also works under Go to Definition, and you'll see the this Preview tab, which is kind of docked at the right. It doesn't open a new tab for every document. Now, I actually like this feature halfway. I love it when I'm navigating code. It used to be in 10 and below that when you go to definition on something, it opens that in a new window. And so if you come out of a debugger session, you have 90 windows open that are not applicable to what you're actually working on.
Exactly, and it also happened a lot when you were just debugging and stepping through code, right? And it would just, you just wind up after a debugging session with your entire document well filled up.
So the preview window is nice, but I don't particularly care for it when I'm navigating through Solution Explorer, so you can actually turn that off. Let me just zoom into this, and you'll see the ability to grab this icon here, which is preview the selected item. It doesn't turn preview off when you're debugging or when you're going to definition on something. It's just for the Solution Explorer. So here's another thing that I like about Solution Explorer. This is unknown by 99% of the world, and it is how to get to a toolbar from the keyboard of a tool window. So for example, on this screen, if I'm on my keyboard, I don't want to go to my touchpad. Like if I travel a lot with my laptop, I'm on the plane, so I don't want to go down to the touchpad or get an external mouse. I just want to be able to highlight one of those icons. You know, if you press the Alt key, it focuses on the main menu. But if you have focus in a tool window, so in this example, Solution Explorer, you can do Shift Alt, and then you'll get a focus in that toolbar. And now you can do left and right, and then, of course, Enter will activate that item. And so I use that quite a bit when I'm just kind of in the zone. My hands are on the keyboard. Shift-Alt takes me there. Right, Enter. You can also use Alt-Down Arrow if there's a menu option that you need to have some selections for. So one of the themes that you'll see throughout our talk is keyboard shortcuts. How many of you are keyboard junkies? Okay, so about half of you. The other half of you use the mouse for everything? So those are the slow developers. Raise your hands again, the keyboard junkies. All right, those keyboard junkies, those are the guys you want to hire, keyboard junkies. No, I'm just kidding. We went through almost all of them. There's two other things that I want to show you here. You've probably seen, if you right-click on Solution Explorer, we have this awesome little feature called Open Folder in File Explorer. If you didn't know that, it's a huge time-saving trick there. And it opens Explorer with focus on wherever that file is on your disk. Now, one of the things that was kind of annoying is that you don't have the ability to have that on a file. It's only on a folder. So if you right-click on a file and you're looking for Open Folder, it's not going to be there. Ah, it is there. It's just not there. So it's over on top. So if you right-click on a file tab name, Then you have something called open containing folder. And I use this probably 100 times a day because I need to get something on disk. I need to delete a cache file. I need to do something other than what Studio is allowing me to do. In fact, I use it so much that I bind a keyboard shortcut to it. So if I come up here to my quick launch and just type in keyboard shortcuts, I can then go to file.open containing folder. And I like to bind this. All the custom keyboard shortcuts that I bind, I prefix with Control-Alt-Shift. And it's a real nice three-finger salute that is all in the same place on the keyboard. You can do Control-Alt-Shift. Visual Studio, by default, doesn't use that. If it does, it's unknown to me, and it's very rare. So that three-key combination plus whatever else is almost always available. So I bind this to Control-Alt-Shift-O, and then I assign it globally. So what that means now is anytime I'm anywhere in any file, Control-Alt-Shift-O, I get Explorer to that file system, and it's something that I use very, very frequently. So there's a couple of quick tips. So I kind of stole your thunder a little bit.
No, that's fine. That's still fine. I'm going to steal some of yours back. So one of the things we spent a bunch of time working on in Visual Studio 2012 is this idea of search, right, and being able to find your way around the IDE. So flip me over. I want to kind of demonstrate a couple things. But first, before I do, I want to just show a very quick, simple tip. It's actually on Scott's slide.
Oh, that's all right.
That's fine. How many of you are precision gamer mouse users? Like every time? Yeah, like a handful guy. And how many people often accidentally do this?
Oh, there you go.
You're like, ugh. Rats. And so now, let me ask this question. How many of you liked the fact that back in Visual Studio 2008, if you did that and knew that you could just double-click and it would put it back there, right? But in Visual Studio 2010, or Visual Studio 2012, actually, it stopped working.
No, it didn't stop working. Oh, this is a new feature called full Windows support.
Right, exactly. This was kind of the fallout of doing some of the tear-off document stuff was because when we started tearing off documents and then people would double-click the title bar expecting them to go full screen like other Windows in the system. And so we made that work here. But that becomes even more frustrating than if you're just trying to put it back. So here's the tip. Hold the control key and you get the old behavior and double click. Hold the control key and double click and it'll go back to where it was. So if you're kind of one of those guys that's accidentally, I'm dragging the mouse, oops, I clicked something, oh, I drug it away, control double click will put it back. So all right, let's talk about search. So you saw Scott show it just for a moment there, and that was that quick launch. I don't know if you caught it up at the very top right corner. There is a little bar up there that says show quick launch, or it just says quick launch. It's control Q is the keyboard shortcut for that. And what that gives me is kind of access across the IDE to things like options and menu items. And really, all it's actually extensible, so you can find extensions that also extend what can go in here. And so I press control Q. And suppose, you know, one of the things I'm always looking for is, you know, say, line numbers. I'm always looking for the option for line numbers. And so I can find that fairly quickly. Now notice it's actually also asking if I want to search for NuGet packages that contain line numbers. So if I want to go and find NuGet extensions that happen to have that, that's another provider for this quick launch menu. If you want to just, and then here's the tip, if you want to just search one provider, suppose I just want to search options pages, I would type the @ sign. And then you start, and then you see kind of these prefixes that you can type to just filter it down to one specific provider. So I can type opt, and now I can just search for line numbers here, and that takes me right to the page which has the line number setting on it. So quick launch is really great for kind of getting around sort of the core IDE. There are other things up here like
Let's throw out. Everyone should turn line numbers on.
Yeah.
If anyone other than you is ever going to look at your screen, please turn your line numbers on.
Yeah. Another great one is the NuGet, right? So if I wanted to add, for example, StyleCop to my project, this would go right on this. I'd type @NuGet StyleCop, it'd take me right to the extension manager where it's going to search and it's going to find me StyleCop and I can install it and put it right in my project. So very, very useful. If you're not using this, is a kind of a quick way. If you're like, I don't want to bring up the NuGet package console, you know, you could just go right here to the quick launch and do it very quickly. Now. That was one way to get kind of around the overall IDE search. Another thing that we've kind of spent some time working on in Visual Studio 2012 was putting search on tool windows where it was foolish that we didn't have it before. Where we thought, hey, you know what, this tool window will never get that big that anybody would ever need to search it. And we were proven wrong for many years. And so a lot of tool windows have it now. So Solution Explorer has search, right? So I can press Control semicolon. Takes me up to the search bar up in the Solution Explorer up here. And I can type and find my files and even classes, which Scott will show you a little bit later. Okay. Likewise, there's a search for the Team Explorer for work items. I'm not hooked up to Source Control right now, but I'm hooked up locally, and so I don't have work items. It's a Git repository. But the keyboard shortcut for that is Control apostrophe. It's right next to the semicolon on a U.S. standard keyboard, right? So I can still use it to kind of focus back to the Team Explorer. So I actually use these, since they're next to each other on the keyboard, to just flip back and forth between Solution Explorer and Team Explorer. Okay, so Control semicolon and Control apostrophe. Now, there are a couple of other tool windows where we added some much-needed search support. So the error list, there's now a search window, search box right here. So if you wind up in the situation where, you know, there's a bunch of cascading errors, there's 100 of them, maybe you upgraded your project and something broke, and there's just a whole bunch of cascading errors, you can search them there. And also, and this is something that I, you know, as controls have proliferated, and there's more controls and components available for people to use, we add search to the toolbox as well. So if you're in a project and you've got all of the potential tool vendors out there, all of their components installed, and you want to find, say, just label, right? Instead of having to kind of poke around the toolbox, you can very quickly type and go right there. Now, another form of search I want to talk about is just search within modal dialogs. I've been showing kind of search in tool windows, and those have various shortcuts. Toolbox and error list don't have shortcuts because they're not used as often, right? Solution Explorer and Team Explorer have shortcuts because, yeah, they get used a lot. But there are also a search for a lot of the modal dialogs. And that keyboard shortcut is actually a Windows keyboard shortcut. So if I bring up Explorer here, there's a search box at the right underneath the ribbon. Who can tell me what the keyboard shortcut is to go there? One of them? Control E is actually a keyboard shortcut that takes me there.
Okay. That works for all of Windows. So it works in the control panel, works in Explorer, yep. Works everywhere. Control E.
Yeah, so
tip.
I put the control panel here. I actually put the control panel and I pin it so I can get to some pinned items. But yeah, bring it right there and I'm searching in the control panel. That's the way it is for modal dialogs as well in Visual Studio. So if I want to add a new project, for example, and then I want to search my templates, Control E takes me to the search box in the new project dialog, and I can, you know, search for whatever I'm looking for and filter that down. Likewise, that also appears for the reference manager in Visual Studio. So I'm coming down here, I say I want to add a new add a reference. Control E will let me search for what I'm looking for, right? So I can filter
that down.
You guys
notice how fast
well.
That add reference dialog box is now?
Yeah. It took us only about 5 or 6 years to fix that after getting the first
15
feedback.
Or 16.
Yeah. Maybe 15.
Years.
Yeah. Who's counting?
Remember, I'm external, so I know those things.
The extension manager, same thing. If I press Control E, that lets me go and search. Okay, so that Control E, whenever there's a modal dialog in Visual Studio that has a search bar on it up the top right corner, Control E is going to take you there. All right. And I think that's it for the search section.
Cool.
Let's move on.
So let's jump back to the tabbing across the top. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention. There's a pretty nice feature here called Close All Documents, Close All But This, and Close All But Pinned. Those are kind of hidden and frequently not used. I like Close All Windows, Alt-W-L. And it's actually not a keyboard shortcut of any kind. It's just Alt-W for the Windows menu. And then L is underlined on all. So it's Alt-W-L, closes all windows. I use that a lot when I'm like in reset mode. OK, I'm done with that. I want to start over. Alt-W-L opens up. I also wanted to show you about split window. Now, a lot of you work with other people on your team. I won't blame you, but I'll blame your team members that like to write really long classes. I'm not talking about hundreds or 200s or 300. I'm talking about thousands of lines of code. Those could be unit tests. Those could be just long lines of code. So there's a little thing up here that we've kind of stolen from Word. And you'll notice that I can clip and drag down and split a window here. Now, the benefit of that, obviously, is that I can, it's actually Shift-Alt-Enter works best in full screen mode. Now, I can navigate the same file in three different places. So if I'm doing something up here or doing something down here, I'm in the same file, but I've split that view. Now, in some cases where your file is 3,000 or 4,000 lines long, you may have a need to see this file in a third or fourth window. And so you have the ability to do that. It's a very infrequently used feature called new window. And new window, what it's going to do up there at the top is take the window that you're currently on and open a second instance of it. So I'll zoom out here, and now when I click new window, you'll see that I have in my toolbar the name of a CS:2. This is the second instance of that window. And now if I flip-flop back and forth, you'll see this one's split and this one's full screen. So watch what I can do. If I pop that out and then Windows left or Windows right to dock it, and Windows left to dock this, now I have the same file open, and you'll see that it's live editing. If I type something down here, it works over there. And so it happens really good, particularly if you're like in an XML file or a data file where you want to see two or three different places. This is really frustrating for me because I do a lot of code reviews, and so I'll ask people to go through their classes, and they're like scrolling up and scrolling down and scrolling up and scrolling down. I'm like, can you just split that and then we can see them both at the same time? So don't underestimate the split window and new window instances. So I want to spend a little bit more time on Solution Explorer. Let me save or close this and not save it. Solution Explorer has the search. So if you're in a live project like this, you can simply start typing test.cs. It'll look at all of the file names that match your search. You can also shift-click and open an array of documents. So I just opened 6 documents at once. I find myself doing that a lot if I want to do a find and replace in documents, but I don't want to do a refactor of the whole solution. Maybe I'm changing a comment name, and I want to use the find and replace in a number of documents. I can simply open those. And then there's this other really cool part of Solution Explorer up at the top where you can filter. Whoa, what's going on? Sorry. Where you can filter Solution Explorer so that instead of showing you just the search results, you can tell it to only show you things that have been changed. So this is great if you're using some sort of source control provider, which all of us should be. Doesn't matter which one it is, whichever provider you have, a TFS provider or a Git provider, show pending changes filter. That will only show the files that you've modified in your Solution Explorer, or open files filter. Watch what happens to my Solution Explorer now. Instead of all 900 files that are in this solution, now I can just go back and forth here. So if throughout your development experience you end up using Control Tab, but you've got 90 things open, you may be a candidate for using this filter option, which it does a really nice job because it still shows you the hierarchy of where the files are located in Solution Explorer. Another thing that we've done with Solution Explorer is give you the ability to explore more than just files. So if I, let's close this. Back to studio, let's close everything down, not save changes, get rid of my filter. And you'll notice that there's a left arrow here, like you can expand a folder, but you can also drill into the type. So we're still in Solution Explorer here. And if I go into this C# file, instead of just opening it, I might want to get to a specific place like the calendar system fields. If you're trying to navigate to a specific field and you don't want to search for it, if you find yourself over in Solution Explorer, you can do that. Now, Solution Explorer also has these things we call pivots. And pivot is another form of filtering. So we already looked at filter by changed files, pending changes. We looked at filter by open files. You can also pivot your Solution Explorer, which is filter by find usages, or dependent control. So if you right-click on any one of these items, sorry, if you right-click on a class name, you'll have the ability here to say scope to this, or look at base types, or derived types, or is used by. So when I select is used by, take a look at what happens with Solution Explorer. It's going to do another filter and only show you the files that are using that. So if you're trying to do a refactor, but you're not quite sure what it is, or if you want to do some safety checks and just kind of navigate around, or if you're doing a code review of somebody else's code, this is a great way to say who's using this particular feature. And then the way you get out of this, by the way, is not so obvious, because there's not an X button to close. So when I teach people this, I see them actually close Solution Explorer. What you want to do is actually navigate back. And so if you click back, then it just takes you back to your full-blown Solution Explorer.
Yeah, that's a common metaphor that's getting used a lot. So the Team Explorer also has the same metaphor where you can go back and forward
navigating
and go to home.
Forward
so,
and back.
So, you know, take advantage of that. Don't close the, you're right. I've closed the Solution Explorer myself. So I'm a little bad about that, a little dirty right now.
So another thing you can do, if you have a really large solution and you're working with a particular project, or if it's scoped even to a folder of that project. So we do a lot of ASP.NET code, and so I have a scripts folder, which then in turn has a whole bunch of subfolders, which then in turn has a whole bunch of scripts. Do you know that you can actually tear off at any point a new Solution Explorer view? So this works great on multi-monitor support. So I can do new Solution Explorer view at scoped at that level, and then I can tear off a file. So imagine, if you will, that I'm on monitor 2 here. And on my monitor 2, I'm doing all of my scripting. Then I can actually dock my new Solution Explorer to that set of files that I'm working with. And then, of course, if you open a file here, it's smart enough to know that it opens it in that MDI, or that containing set of windows. So, you know, I've got 3 monitors on my desk, and I'm basically doing scripts over here, server over here, client over here. And it's just something that I've come up with, and that multiple instancing of Solution Explorer is a huge, huge time saver, because it's scoped to just what you're working on in that particular field. And then, of course, you can close it all and bring it down. Good stuff? All right. So let's jump over to navigation.
So we've been kind of working our way into the editor as we get through these tips and tricks. And so we're going to start getting much, much closer into actually, you know, some tips and tricks for writing code. But using the IDE is where a lot of productivity happens. And so kind of the last piece we want to talk about here as we start pulling into the editor is navigation, kind of key, you know, navigating code especially. Also, I want to mention one other tip, just because I from the Solution Explorer, one that I really like a lot, and that's this idea of syncing the active document. Sometimes I'll find myself, you know, way up here in the Solution Explorer, and I can't remember. Maybe it's nested very deep, or I've got a bunch of kind of a folder structure or something in a project, and I can't remember where that folder, where that file is. But I know I need to know the one next to it, right? And so the keyboard shortcut to sync the Solution Explorer to your active document is the left square bracket S. Okay, so if I press Control square bracket S, it automatically syncs the Solution Explorer to my active document. I use that a lot for just kind of grabbing the file next to it. And one of the, now as we get into navigation, I mentioned it earlier, but there's this notion of the simplified navigation that we introduced in Visual Studio 2012. It's really an old feature that we just, you know, surfaced to the top, and it's these, you know, it's these buttons back here up at the very top left corner that show you where you've been, okay, in your code. And if you want to navigate that from the keyboard, the keyboard shortcuts are pretty easy. They're Control S, right? And as Scott said earlier, that when you start thinking about keyboard shortcut language, what do you think the keyboard shortcut would be to go the other direction? Control Shift minus, right? So Control minus and Control Shift minus. Did I say Control S?
You said Control S. Yeah,
I didn't mean Control
minus.
S. I missed Control Shift minus. So I'm still on the sync active document. Now, that works really well. That's text based. Okay, it's based on like where your position in the file was. If you move, I think like more than 10 lines away, it adds another what we call a go back marker to allow you to go there. Also, you can go to definition. This is kind of bread and butter. How many people use go to definition? F12, right? So F12 takes me to go to definition. Now, in this case, I went go to definition on a type that I did not have source code for. And this produces a special view, a C-sharp-like view of the underlying metadata for the definition of that type of task. And you can use go to definition in here as well. So if I want to go to system.object, I can just keep on plowing through these. And simplified navigation will also go back and forth between these. So control minus and control shift minus. There's also a little known feature that's another navigation stack that's only in C#. It's the go to definition stack, where if you've been moving around a file a lot, but you've done some go to definitions in between, you can just navigate your go to definitions with control shift 7 and, I have to actually look at it, control shift 7 and 8. That's the keyboard shortcut. Most people don't do that. Most people realize that that's actually the back and forward buttons on your mouse. So when you're in code and C# code, you can go back and forth between your navigation, your go-to definitions. So I can go backwards and forwards just through the go-to definitions with Control Shift 7 and 8 or the mouse button. Now we saw this awesome metadata source view, and we're in the kind of the age of more monitors, right? Where I don't just have a single monitor and I don't just have a single code window. I mean, Scott's been showing us all sorts of really great uses for that, of really taking advantage of your other monitors. Another use I will use, another window I will bring up for another monitor is the code definition window. And this is kind of like go to definition all the time.
Live.
Right? Live all the time. So as I move through my code, I find that it's going to sync to the definition, including the metadata source view for that. This is actually a C# and C++ only feature. It's not in Visual Basic as of yet, though I am working on something there. But that's just if you want to just kind of put it on another monitor, and you can always see what you're looking at, what the definition of the call or the type under the caret. Now the reverse of go to definition, we've been talking a lot about go to definition. The reverse of go to definition, what would I add as a keyboard shortcut to do the reverse? Shift, right? So that's going to be Shift F12. Anybody know what keyboard shortcut that is? Find all references. Kind of the opposite of go to definition is find me all the references to that thing, and so I can come here and say, well, I need to find every place that, for example, uses this. Now, right now, I have the find results window is up, it's focused, I can navigate it. If I don't have it focused, and I just happen to be in the editor, there's a keyboard shortcut that will navigate that window anyways. It'll actually navigate any list window, so even if I did a text search, I can press F8, and that will also cycle through the items in that window, okay, is the F8 key. And that works with any list window.
F8 and Shift F8, I use that all the time.
Yes,
when
Shift
you're...
F8 goes, of course, the reverse direction.
That's right.
Yes. Navigate 2. How many people use Control Comma?
Oh, okay. This is big. This is your
big.
New best friend.
So this will be your new best friend. So if you're finding yourself kind of, you know, feeling unproductive and you want to get something out of this talk, remember Control Comma. Control Comma is the Navigate 2 feature which allows you to search files and symbols. Okay, so I can bring this up and search, for example, window, control comma, takes me right there to a search and filters that down, and I can find what I'm looking for, press enter and go there. Okay, so it's more of a navigation feature, it's a quick navigation feature. I know what I'm looking for, and let me go there. And sometimes you don't know what you're looking for, right? You say, well, I am actually looking for window manager, and so you can type a couple of words. Or if you know specifically what you're looking for and you just want to get there ultra fast, you could just type all the uppercase letters of that, right? So I could say, you know, take me here. ZWM will take me to Z Window Manager, for example. And so that's kind of a power user feature for this.
But it's a huge time saver.
Yeah. Yeah, so it can help you if you don't know where you're going and you're just looking for something. It can also help you if you know exactly where you're going and you want to go there very fast. I think I've got two more here in the navigation space. When you have all these document windows open, you know, we've done a lot of work to make sure the preview tab's there and that you're not getting kind of pollution in your document windows. In kind of the document tab well up at the very, very top. But if you do, and you've got a bunch of open files and you're bouncing around them and you're not split on multiple monitors, you're on the same monitor, there's this wonderful little guy right here, this little arrow. Let me zoom that in so you can see what I'm looking at. This little arrow right here, okay? That brings down a menu of your open documents. But it's kind of, you know, kind of a hard target to hit unless you're, you know, one of these Twitch gamers. It's kind of hard to hit with your mouse. There is a keyboard shortcut to drop that down, and that's Control Alt down. And the great thing about this is, once I've brought that down, I can just start typing the first few letters of the file name, press Enter, and go there. If that was actually not the file that was selected, let's do that with one that's not. There we go. Okay, so Control Alt down brings down that. And so I use that all the time to navigate my open files. And so we have multiple ways you can do this. You can kind of pick and choose your tips and tricks now, right? There's the Solution Explorer. You can filter it down to open files and do some of that sort of thing. Or you could use the keyboard shortcuts to get through that. One last thing I want to present. This is more for the VB folks. And this is a shortcut that's only in VB. It's only when you use the VB keyboard bindings. But when you do Control Up and Down in Visual Basic, that will allow you to cycle through, kind of walk through by members, right? So I'm going to Control Up, and look at the very bottom. You see where it says line one? This is a big file. So I'm going to go and start walking around some more. Oh, this is not a big file. This is a big file. Wrong one. So I'm going to go up, and so you can see I can start bouncing around. Now I'm at line 5,000, right? And I can just start walking through my unit tests very, very quickly with Control Up and Down, okay? So for VB folks, that's a tip for you. All right.
So interestingly, after I found that tip, depending on your video driver, Control Alt Down may do something
This is not my fault.
I did find how I can disable this in the BIOS. This is a mean trick to play on your friends, because here's why it's mean. To flip it is not Control Alt Down again. It's Control Alt Up. And to make matters worse, it only affects the monitor that your mouse is on, not the window that has focus.
That's an amazing feature.
So now that I know how that works, it makes a lot of sense, and I've been able to use it. I have a Lenovo Yoga, so it flips backwards and upside down and in and out, and when I put it up on the projector, if I have it in tent mode, it displays upside down on the projector, and so it makes sense. But if it's extended monitor, then you got to move your mouse over there and then do Control Alt Up Down. Anyway, so let's look at some code editor tricks. I do a lot of screen sharing with code reviews, so somebody's either looking at my code or they're looking at someone else's code, or it's up on a projector like this. And so I'm constantly trying to zoom my font in and out. So Control Wheel Mouse or two finger scroll up and down is going to zoom that text in and out. In the old days, if you have Visual Studio 10 or below, you can do Control-Shift, period, and comma, which visually makes sense because it's the greater than and less than signs. So Control-Shift, comma, zooms you out, and Control-Shift, period, or greater than, zooms you in. So if you have somebody else looking at your screen from across the room, or if you're sharing it on a monitor, we have TVs in our development space, and anybody can throw their desktop up on the TV. But if I'm 15 feet away from that, it makes sense to put that in like a 60-point font so that I can get back to you. Or if you're in Link or GoToMeeting or some other screen sharing tool, that is helpful. There's another code editor trick that I want to show you, which is one of my favorites. It's called incremental search. So most of you know Control F to find. You start typing, you press Enter. If you're in that document, it'll take you to the first instance. Control I, in fact, focus on the very bottom left of my screen and where it says ready there. When I press Control I, you'll see that I gotta get focus here. Control I will start taking me to an incremental search. So I can type READ. Wow, that's not working, is it? Let me try this again. So Control I is going to be incremental search. Now watch the focus of my cursor as I start typing read only. That's going to incrementally search what you're typing while you're typing it, which is different than if you're in the find dialog, because then your search is not executed until you press enter. Now the nice thing about this is it puts it on the search stack. So F3 and then Shift F3 will find next and find previous. So now I can start navigating F3, and that'll take me through all of my read-onlys, of course, till I get to the end, and then it'll cycle through there again. So Control-I is incremental search. We talked a little bit about plugins. I was showing you how I do my font zoom, Control-Shift left and right, or greater than, less than. But default out of the box, it only affects the fonts, the window that you're in. So if you then jump over to the next tab, you'll find that you're back to your 12-point font, which is not great for your presenting. Typically, if you want to increase the font size, you want to increase the font size everywhere. So there is there's an add-in that somebody wrote called Trout Zoom. And as you zoom in one place, it'll zoom all of the active documents that you have open. I wonder what happens if you open a new file then, if it's still set. Oh yeah, so it maintains that zoom for all the old ones. And so we're kind of blurring the lines over the last couple years about what is Visual Studio and what is all the other stuff added in with NuGet and packages and extensions and all the other things that are coming into place. So let me get back to zoom out so we can see something. I want to show you multi-line edit. So multi-line edit is the ability to do exactly what it says, edit multiple lines. So here we have three tests that are equal. And let's say that I am second-guessing John Skeet. And in fact, we want to change these to not equal. And do you guys see what I did there? I just changed three lines at once. So you can use what we call box select and then start typing. So there's really two things going on here at once. Starting with Visual Studio 2005 or 3 maybe, forward.
No. Way earlier.
So yeah. Maybe InterDev?
Maybe, yeah.
You guys remember InterDev? Who's old with me? Come on. All right, so in as far back as InterDev, you could hold the Alt key down and then do a selection. So from your keyboard, that's going to be shift arrows, or from your mouse, it's just drag and drop. But if I do an Alt shift, oh gosh. I just did Control Alt instead of Alt shift. So if I do Alt shift and then down, I'm doing box select. Box select has been there forever, and it's great if you're editing something like an XML file, or if you want to just take a whole chunk of text, copy paste works here, so I can do Control X, Control V. I can actually come down here and Control V again. It'll paste that block, which is extremely helpful. So that's box select. New in Visual Studio 2012 is multi-line support. So now when you have box select, you can actually type, and then you can affect multiple lines at once. It's hugely beneficial as you are navigating and editing your data. Let me just Control Z back to the beginning here. So now I don't have any red squigglies. So we also have the ability to find instances. So here's the word date. And you'll notice if I hover over date, all of the rest of them are highlighted. But you can Control-Shift-Navigate them up and down. So if you see my cursor now is on line 30, and I'm doing up and down, you'll notice that my cursor is, it's basically find usages in this file, but take my cursor there. So it's Control-Shift, up and down. And it works on members, it works on variables. It's basically a live navigation, go to the next or previous instance of this particular item. So we've got another feature here that I use 100 times a day. Control C, copy, paste, right? Nothing new there. So I'm just going to Control C on this, assert R equal. Then I'm going to come down here, and then I'm going to paste it again. Whoops, I just made a mistake, and I pressed Control C on this blank line instead of Control V. That jacks you all the time, right? You're like, oh, man. So now you got to go back, copy it again, come back, because when you Control C, you copied that blank line and that just popped off the stack. Watch this. Control Shift V is cycle your clipboard ring. So what I'm going to do to is Control C, copy all, are you sure? Copy this, Control C. Now if I do a V, it's just that particular item, but Control Shift V is going to cycle through the last 20 things on your clipboard. So the beauty in this is you can copy, 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 paste, paste, paste. Instead of copy, navigate, paste, go back, copy, navigate, paste, go back. This has been in every version of Visual Studio. For those of you, here's the one tip that benefits the 2005 users. Who is that guy? Who's using Studio 2005? In Studio 2005 only, there's a clipboard visualizer. So you can actually see all the old stuff on your clipboard. And because nobody ever used the feature, it got taken out. Someday I want it back, but I don't think it's going to happen. So Control-Shift-V is always going to be there, and that works everywhere, but the visualizer is only in Studio 2005. We're going to have some time for questions at the end, so we'll circle back on that. So with that, let's jump forward to writing some code tips and tricks.
So this is near and dear to my heart because this is what I typically work on day to day, both as a developer and just as a program manager at Microsoft. This is kind of the area that I think about a lot and I spend a lot of my thought effort in. First up, I just want to share some IntelliSense bits and pieces. Some of them are kind of immediately obvious. Some of them are like, hey, buy Visual Studio 2010 because we added this. The first one I want to demonstrate, some basic things about IntelliSense. IntelliSense is very good at dealing with declared things in your code, things that have already been declared. But the problem is that it shows you everything in the world. So if I just bring up IntelliSense, say with Control J here, I get the entire universe of what's available through those using directives within the .NET framework, right? And so in Visual Studio 2010, we boldly joined the current decade when it came to IntelliSense features, and we added filtering support, right? So if I type console, it filters down to just the things that contain console. This is actually a little more, I guess, the filtering here, the matching, is a little more clever than just a text match. It actually splits up all of the identifiers in that list into kind of words based on where the capital letters are, if there are underscores. And so if I'm typing here, I can find, read line and write line by typing line. But if I type, say, DLI, that won't match anything, even though it's part of read line. Okay, so being kind of aware, there's this sort of smartness around the text filtering, so it's not just giving you random results when you're typing something else, if it just happens to match. In addition, I can, just like in the Navigate to dialog, if I type in all capital letters and I just type the capital letters of the identifier, or actually the first letter of the split word. So if it's all lowercase and underscored in between, it'll also work. But if I just type the capital letters, it'll also filter specifically to those items that match. Okay. Now, as I said, it's really good at declared stuff. Like if you've gone and defined your classes, things work out great with IntelliSense. It generally doesn't stomp over you. For example, and that's led to some problems for us, the fact that it's only on declared things. I just kind of want to give you an example of a bug that we'd fixed based because of this behavior. Just kind of as an example of kind of how kind of complex and toony, kind of you got to get fine-tuned when you start working with IntelliSense. In this situation right here, if I want to declare a generic method, a method that has a type parameter on it, and I want to return that type parameter, and I want to type T here. Well, there's nothing in the file or anywhere called T, right? And so we would always get bug reports from Connect for years. We got the same bug report said, why does IntelliSense keep committing to thread static attribute when I'm trying to declare a generic method? And you should never use thread static attribute, right? Except in very specialized circumstances. So people are seeing this type. But just as an example, some of the things we're trying to do with IntelliSense, in this case, in this very specific position when you're in a return type position in your code, we'll just put T in the list, just in case. Now, everybody asks, well, what if I used U and V or any of those kinds of things? Well, that's against the .NET framework design guidelines. And so the design guidelines say that if you have multiple type parameters, they're supposed to be words that are prefixed with T, so I can sidestep that just ever so slightly and say that you're not compliant. With T, that's the sort of thing we want to really address for those types of folks that, when you're typing a generic method, that's one thing. But there's also this kind of very common, I guess, becoming more common, consume-first style of development, where you start typing code that uses types and uses members before you actually go define them, right? This is really common in like desk-driven development or behavior-driven development, where you want to start writing unit tests, and you want to start building up a test base before you actually go and write the code. And so the canonical example of where this always fell down is right here, where I've got my test fixture. It's called customer test. It's like, okay, I'm going to go and write my code that uses customers that have not yet been defined. And so I say customer, and of course, IntelliSense picks customer tests because IntelliSense is a jerk, and it does exactly what I don't want. And so for Visual Studio 2010, we introduced a new mode for IntelliSense. We started kind of brainstorming, this idea of where IntelliSense is very aggressively committing declared items. We decide we're going to call that completion mode, where IntelliSense makes some suggestions, but it's going to commit aggressively depending, when you type characters to commit the IntelliSense list. However, there's another mode called suggestion mode that we introduced, and that is still going to give you the same list, it's still going to give you the same filtering, but it's not going to aggressively commit on characters. And you can enable that by pressing Control Alt Space. That does not, as far as I know, change some crazy monitor setting in a Control Alt way. There's also a toolbar up here, a toolbar item that shows that it's whether it's toggled on or off, and so that's depressed right now. So if I start typing customer, you see that at the very top of the IntelliSense list is what we call the IntelliSense builder. Just this kind of item that's updating as I type in the editor, saying this is the identifier we're going to insert when you press space, okay? And that's cool. However, if I really wanted to do customer tests, I would press tab. So tab will always commit the selected item in the list, so I can press tab and commit. But if I just pressed space, I wouldn't get that. Now, to even make it a little bit easier for kind of test-driven development, we had some other items, some other helps in this case. So if I type new after this, if I want to new up my customer, even though it's not defined, customer is going to appear there. So we did a couple of things in Visual Studio 2010 to really kind of streamline that sort of development. And so now this kind of leads me into some other features that not necessarily related to IntelliSense that really are geared towards that consume-first style of development. The first one I want to demonstrate is generate from usage. How many people use generate from usage? Nobody. How many people use the keyboard shortcut control dot? Okay, this one. Remember this one. Control dot is, you see the little smart tag guy that appears right there? That little blue rectangle at the bottom left, the thing that you wish would, you know, be easier to hit when you hover over it with a mouse? Control dot is what brings that up.
Okay? The precision gamers have no problem.
Precision gamers are fine with this, right? But control dot will bring up that smart tag. And so very often in my own coding, I mean, I'm just pressing control dot all the time, and I'm pressing control comma all the time to navigate. They're right next to each other on the keyboard. And so they work very, very well together. So I press control dot. I can generate a class for that customer, right? And then you see that the type colorization comes up. The squiggles go away because now I've actually declared a type called customer somewhere, and I can start using that. And I can say, well, customer name equals Scott, right, for example. And again, you see there's a little blue smart tag over there. I can press control dot, generate a property stub. Okay, so introducing some of these features, but making sure that you're productive with them by giving you control dot. Control dot will always bring up that smart tag. Another place where you'll see control dot happen, or that smart tag pop up, rather, is when you're renaming something within the editor. So if I want to say, you know, maybe I want to rename this as something else, and we'll just kind of give it a one. You'll see a smart tag pop up, and you can press control dot, saying, hey, do you want to actually rename this guy to customer one? So you don't have to hover over that, just control dot, saying, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. All right? Another place where this comes up, and it's very big for productivity, for me in particular, is add using. Right? The add using feature, again, is driven by smart tags, so it's that control dot feature. So if I want to say, you know, use something from system.io, for example, I come in here, I say file, and I immediately hit control dot, bring it up, add my using up top. Okay, so you can go very quickly from the keyboard, the control dot. So what these are, they're actually the C# kind of version of VB error corrections. So VB error corrections, Visual Basic error corrections, have been in the product since Visual Studio 2005. And there are many of them. There are hundreds and hundreds of them. But it's a very similar sort of feature. So if I come in here and I bring up I want to insert a property, I'm actually going to use a code snippet to insert the property. Code snippets, if you don't know what they are, they insert off of tab. You can see the very bottom of this tooltip, it says, note tab twice to insert the property snippet. I'll go ahead and insert that. And that inserts just a property code snippet that I can go and start changing. This works in C# as well. And I'll just add a property here. Now, if I want to, if I wanted to say, you know, maybe I added a keyword here that's not going to be, it's going to cause an error. Say like add read only right here. There are error corrections that are going to pop up. There's going to be an error and then in the error window, there's actually two suggestions and a little preview, right? So for Visual Basic users, again, this is control dot. This is a big boon to Visual Basic development. So just one more thing I want to show on before we move on. And that's organize usings. There is no keyboard shortcut bound to this. I'm sure, Scott, what do you bind to this? You've got to bind something.
What is it?
Organize usings. Do you bind anything to it? There's actually, I don't know. Maybe
I can't tell you because it's a competing third-party tool that I use, Control-Alt-Shift-F.
I see. So actually, I use an extension. I'll grab an extension called Power Commands, and that has an options dialog that lets me do organize usings on save. That's just a checkbox, and so I tend to use that. But the feature is right here. If I right-click, say organize usings, this has been in the product since Visual Studio 2008, you can remove unused usings, you can sort your usings, or you can remove and sort and just get rid of it. And of course, this is going to say it's going to break your code because there's an error. So you get a little warning saying, hey, if you want to change this, it's okay, but it's because I had an error in my code, it might have broken something. So, and that's what we've got for code editing. Let's move on. I'm sorry? The name of that extension was Power Commands.
All right, so we're going to wrap up the last 10 minutes with debugging, because there's no developer that cannot become a better developer without knowing some awesome keyboard shortcuts. So how many of you are master debuggers? All of you write code that just runs perfectly the first time? Okay, how many of you do code reviews of other people's code where you have to use a debugger? That's a good question. So I'm about to blow your mind. Watch this. Notice that I have no red circles over here. So what does that mean? There's no breakpoints. I've got a console application. I was going to write this code live on stage, but because we've only got 10 minutes left, I just did this while he was setting up his talk. So I threw some classes in different places, and we want to just basically step through this very elementary code. But first I want to run it. So watch this. About to blow your mind. Are you ready? Run my application and stop on the line that I'm on. What? You can do that without F9 setting a breakpoint. This next 5 minutes will change your life if you really pay attention and you set your debugger skills. Control F10 is run to cursor. And if you're not currently running your project, it will first start your project, set an invisible breakpoint for you, and then run to cursor. So let's do it again. Let's go through this loop 100 times. My cursor has just moved down to line 22. Control F10. I'm realizing more and more that my non-backlit keyboard is not a good thing. So Control F10 takes me right to that line. I don't have to set a breakpoint in order to get my execution to stop. Now, if you loved that, holy moly, wait until you see what happens here. Watch this. Let's go backwards. Are you kidding me? Control-Shift-F10 is reset the execution point. And it's equivalent to this. So watch this. I'm going to do this again. Down to line 22, Control-F10. And then, did you know you could do this? Take this little guy, this little yellow guy, which is showing you your execution point, and I can go and just move it up. This has unintended consequences. You are not actually going back in time. You are, in fact, just changing the execution point. So your loop is going to run again based on the variable's static values at that point in time. So this could actually cause you some harm. You should know what you're doing. But my point is, to debugging, without breakpoints, you should be able to navigate your solution while you're debugging from the keyboard, and you will go 1,000 times faster at debugging. And they're all F9, F10, F11. F9 is set a breakpoint. Shift F9 is kill the breakpoint. There's more that I'll show you with that in a minute. F10 is step over. F11 is step in. Shift F11 is step back. I'm not going to go over all of those because most of them are pretty basic, but if you are debugging from the toolbar with your mouse, you are a slow developer. And you can dramatically increase your productivity by mastering what you can do with F9, F10, and F11 keys while you're in debug mode. Here's another one. This one is phenomenal. I use this, and this is a $1 bet against your friends to ask them if they know how to do this. So I wrote this really ugly code on line 22 that says write name, and that passes as a parameter a function that just takes a string and returns a silly person class that eventually writes the name. But my goal here is that on line 22, let me just control F10 so I can get to that line, I want to step into this method. But Visual Studio is going to ask you, what do you want to step into? Do you want to step into the calling method? Do you want to step into the second level method? And of course you can do F11, 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 and eventually get there. But this is phenomenal. This is called step into specific, and you do shift alt F11. And then Visual Studio gives you a menu that says, there's a number of things I can step into here. What do you want to step into? So if you just do F11, it takes you into the first method call. And then you can do shift F11. So some of you have functions that you're calling that have 3 and 4, either lambda expressions or functions with it. So you do F11, F11, shift F11, and then, you know, a minute later you can actually get to where you want. So in this case, watch what happens. I'm going to go all the way down to walk in, get, or actually right into write name, and then I can do my standard F10, F10, come back, etc. So shift off F11 is step into. There's another thing that I want to show here that, let me just do shift F5 or F5 run. Stop debugging, yes. And I want to call out the difference between console write line. So I do a lot of throwaway applications. We just spin up a console app. I want to put something out to the screen so that I can actually see it. So I use console write line a lot. And you may not know CW is the tip there. CW tab just fills out console write line.
That's your snippet.
That's a built-in snippet. So I'm doing code reviews and I'm like, console.writeline. And you're like, come on, man, know those keyboard shortcuts so we can get these things going out faster. So console write line. And then there's also debug, which you can use control dot in order to get your smart clippy. What's it called? Smart text? Control dot will bring namespace. So that lives in system diagnostics. Let me delete that. And then as you type, debug, you'll see the little purple indicator that comes up there, and you can do control dot and also bring in the namespace. A little catch here, it's case sensitive. So you have to actually do the exact member name in order for that to come in. So the difference between debug write line, let me just copy this for the sense of time. Debug write line will actually write to the console where, the output window, where console write line will actually write to the to window that's running. The benefit and the difference, let me just F5 to run this and then close this. When my console is gone, I can always come back to my output window. So the output window persists, right? So there's a difference there, and just know that sometimes you can write stuff to the output window. And there's actually a ton of other things that are beneficial in debugging as well. But you will become a better developer simply by mastering F9, F10, F11, and all of the ancillary keystrokes around that. So let's wrap up with, Dustin's going to do something quick on temporary projects, and then we'll get you out of here to fill out our evals.
So, are there people in here like me that often create these little console applications because you want to try something out, see if it works, and then, you know, move on? I'm seeing some nods of heads. Okay. So are there people like me that have often wound up with console application 1, console application 2, up to about 4,000?
27, yeah. 28.
So there's a feature that will help you with that. Under Projects and Solutions General, there's a little known option here, right here, which says, save, I'll just draw a line through it, whatever. Save new projects when created, okay? And if I uncheck that box, that means when I create a new project, it's not going to save it to disk. Notice that when I create a new project here, down here there's no location, there's no solution name at the bottom of this new project dialog. And so I can go ahead and create my application, run it, play around with it, and it's not actually... it's on disk in a local place. There's actually an autosave mechanism that goes on to make sure that if you're playing around in here and you know Visual Studio goes away or some machine crash,
you can open containing folder on that and it'll show you where it stores it.
Is that where's your open containing folder? It's over here, right? Open folder in File Explorer.
Right.
So and it shows you that under your app local there's a temporary projects folder where this gets saved out. Now, so you can make your changes, you can play around if you just want to try something really quick. And then if you like that, if you want to, you know, commit it then and say, well, I actually want to keep this, then I can say save all, and then it'll prompt me to say, where do you want to save this project? Okay, so there is this notion of temporary projects. You don't have to litter everything with console application 1 through $4 billion.
It's a huge time saver.
So it is a huge time saver. So with that, I think that's the last one we've got for you. So we're down to the last 50 seconds.
So real quick, just to remember, I'm Scott Cate, and this is my friend Dustin Campbell. I don't work at Microsoft, so I can only come back next year if you guys complete the evals with what you thought about the talk. So thank you very much for your time. And if you see us around, we're going to be at the Visual Studio booth answering more questions or tips and tricks. We hope to see you soon. Have a great rest of your tech ed.
And don't forget the...
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I was just going to say, don't forget that the shortcuts are in the slides, okay? So if you just didn't get it or you're taking notes, they're there for you. So when you get them, I think you can download them after the fact or email me or Twitter us or we can get them to you.